Hey, can we pray one more time? If everyone can bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you that it is your message, Lord. It's not my message, but it's your message. That you would speak to our hearts and you speak to my heart through your Holy Spirit. That this service is led by your Holy Spirit, God. It's not led by our intellect. It's not even led by our own creativity or what we think is good. But you're the only one that's good. And so help us, Lord, to submit to you tonight. That we would yield to your presence. That people aren't just coming to church, Father. People aren't just coming to Souls of the Youth. But people are coming here because they know that there's a person here named Jesus who gives life. A person here named Jesus who gives hope. A person here named Jesus who gives us a good future. Who has good plans for us. Person here named Jesus who's given everything to us. That is the God that we serve, and that is a Jesus whom we wish to see and encounter tonight. In the name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. I hope you guys are hungry tonight. Someone give them a cheeseburger. I hope you guys are hungry tonight. I don't know. It's been crazy, but God has been the constant through everything. When God is your foundation, circumstances don't matter. Not that you shouldn't care about people or you shouldn't. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a quote that I heard that the situation you live in shouldn't live in you. I'm going to say that again. The situation... Oh, hi. It's my sister. The situation that you live in should not live in you. I think we need to declare that tonight. Everyone say, my situation... Sorry, that's even... Oh, man. It's not your situation. Restart. Everyone say, the situation that I live in does not live in me. Amen. Listen, guys, that is a choice. That is a choice. Go to my Proverbs scripture, brother. When Jesus is your foundation, oh my gosh, people will be impressed with how you handle things. They will. It's like your whole world's falling apart and you're still lifting up your hands. People were tripping out about Job. This guy lost his kids, lost his wife, lost his son, lost everything. And people, and even before his wife died, she's like, just curse God already. Just curse God already. They're waiting for him to fail. This guy has boils all over him. He's bleeding constantly. Everyone say, ew. And his friends, everyone say, friends. Oh, man. Everyone say, friends. I believe we're coming into a season where you either need to let go of your friends or you need to pull them in. You either gotta let go of your friends or you gotta pull them in. They're just waiting for Job to curse God. Just curse him already. And Job never curses God. Job has an amazing conversation with God, but at the end, Job gets everything doubled. He's faithful. Because his belief in his foundation, knowing that I serve a God who is good, no matter what my circumstances is, no matter what my friends are saying, no matter what my family is saying, God is my constant. It doesn't mean that Job didn't have doubts or questions. He definitely had that, but he never cursed God. And he never said, this is your fault. Never. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And if you guys take Academy Level 1, you'll know that wisdom is equated to Jesus. You cannot separate wisdom from Jesus because wisdom is truth and God is truth. A proverb or a parable is a, it's, how do I say it? It is a physical description of a spiritual truth. That's what a proverb or a parable is. Because Jesus, and in the Old Testament, Proverbs, which was written by King Solomon, they would speak in parables to show them spiritual things. You know, all throughout the New Testament, Jesus would say, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who plowed, or a man who built a house, or a man who went to a country. Like, it's Jesus constantly equates things in the natural to show spiritual things. It's the same thing with Proverbs. And so King Solomon writes this. He says, I walked by the field of a lazy person. I'm going to say, oh my gosh. We'll stay right here, okay? The vineyard of one with no common sense. Now, this made sense to people back then. That this made perfect sense. There was many farmers. And for many of them, this was their entire livelihood, as in like their life, whether they had a good life or not a good life, resulted in how much they sowed and how much they reaped, how much they tended to their vineyard. In the spiritual, our relationship with God is like a vineyard, where that needs to be tended to constantly. Next verse. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles, it was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Listen, I'm talking to Christians here. I'm not talking, if it's your first time here, we love you, and Jesus is amazing. Come meet him and come just encounter him. It's amazing. But for those of us who call ourselves Christians, we say we believe in God and Jesus is our Lord. Have we gotten lazy in our relationship with God? There's a story in the New Testament. Jesus is literally, like, there's like, I forgot what it's called, but it's where they put all the tithes and offerings. And Jesus is just sitting there. He's just watching everyone put in their money. He's just watching, right? The Pharisees gave a bunch of money, and this widow gives two mites, which equates to like a penny. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he said, she gave more than they did, because they gave out of their abundance. She gave out of everything that she had. And many of us were like, yeah, I'm free on Wednesday night. I'm free on Sundays. I come to church. And you think you've given a lot when really you've just given out of your abundance. You've given out of your convenience. I am not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just saying that there's a there's a deeper calling for you. Check this out. Saw that it was overgrown. Nope. Before. It's overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds and its walls were broken down. Everyone say, the vineyard is my heart. It's your life, guys. This proverb applies to us because it's not a literal proverb about vineyards, but it's a spiritual truth of are you stewarding your relationship with God? And not even your relationship with God, but like you as a person. Earlier we said, if you either had to let go of some of your friends or pull them in. Some friends need to be pulled out like a weed. This is what a weed means. A wild plant growing where it is not wanted and in competition with cultivated plants. Or plants that are supposed to be there. In other words, if your friends are influencing you to not come to church, they're in competition with the will of God. If Netflix is taking up hours and hours of your time, it is in competition with the will of God. I'm not saying watching Netflix is bad. I'm not saying that at all. I will enjoy some Stranger Things. But here's what weeds do. Weeds suck the life out of what's supposed to be growing in that vineyard. And if God is calling you to dig deeper in the Word of God, if he's calling you to dig deeper in worship, listen, worship up here is great, but it should not be greater than the worship that you have personally in the secret place. Your worship, your personal worship with God needs to be greater than the worship you encounter here. It does. as much as God loves intimacy corporately, he loves intimacy personally. You can see it all throughout the Old Testament. He calls single people out, come up to this mountain so I can encounter you. Come into the tent of meeting. I want to talk to you face to face like one talks to a friend. Our God is a personal God, not a corporate God. He is a corporate God, but he's a personal God first. He's a personal God first. And I just want to reflect tonight, what are the weeds in our life that we need to pull out that are sucking the life out of what God has already planted in you and what's supposed to be growing there? If patience and kindness is supposed to be growing there, then you got to pull out some weeds of like angry thoughts and always being irritated. Is this making sense? You all okay? Next verse. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. I read this and I thought about camp. It is a stronghold that souls of youth will break down. But it's a stronghold nonetheless. And here's a trend. You go to camp and then school starts and all of a sudden your relationship, you let these weeds grow and all of a sudden you're not as souls of youth as often. All of a sudden you're not reading your Bible every day. All of a sudden you're not investing in a relationship with God. Am I the only one? It's happened to me, guys. And it happens every year where you saw this person going to camp and next thing you know, a few months later, they're not even coming to church anymore. Here's the thing. We come back from camp on Saturday and it's not like on Sunday, it's all gone. It's like nothing ever happened. No, it's like one day at a time. When Jesus isn't your everyday Jesus, something else will take the throne of your heart. It might not happen within hours or minutes or days, but if you don't keep pouring in to your relationship with God, something else will fill your cup. Oh, man. Is this okay? You guys okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, what do you place your value in? Jesus said this. He said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And here's what I believe that tonight is about. One of the things it's about is that when you guys will look at your life and see where your time goes, you'll recognize where you put your value and your trust in. Jesus put it this way. He said, where your treasure is, your heart is there also. I'm going to say where your time is, your heart is there also. Let's go a little bit deeper. Where your time is, that's where you are. We look at time as if it's something that we just pull out and say, you know, I'll spend an hour here. I'll spend an hour there. And it's like, you know, you spend and you forget about it. I don't think you guys realize this. But Psalm says this. David tells God, teach us to number our days so that we may, I think it says search wisdom. I think it's Psalm 90, can you put it up? Right, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, when the reality of I'm not going to be here forever on this earth, the more that settles in, the more important your time becomes. We think that we're just spending time doing something, whatever it may be. But guys, listen to me. You're not just spending time, you're spending yourself. You have yourself on this earth for a limited amount of time. And if you spend 6 hours on Netflix, you spent yourself. You're never gonna get that back. or you spend 6 hours playing video games. I don't know, whatever it is. Can we go a little deeper? You spend time where you think it's valuable. You do. You wouldn't spend time somewhere like, unless you have to. Like, you go to the DMV and you get there late. You're going to be there for like, you know, 3 or 4 hours. That's time. And you hate it. Why? Because it's wasting your time. Right? Have you guys ever done like a big project? This has happened to me a couple of times in my life. But where I do a big project, I spend so much time on, I think it's amazing, and I get like a C on it. It's like, why are you upset? Because you spent so much time on it. Right? You think your project was good because you spent your time. And because you spent your time on it, you think now that project has value. And when someone puts a C on your project, now you're upset because you thought it was an A and the teacher thinks it's a C. And now you feel like you're not valuable because you spent your time on it. Where we spend our time on things that we think are valuable. And not only that, but we spend our time on things that we think are valuable because we think that makes us valuable. Middle schoolers or high schoolers are always in relationships. They value that person. They place their value on that person or on that relationship because they think it makes them valuable. Look at me, I have a boyfriend. Middle school relationships were like the dumbest thing ever. It was like the biggest deal in the entire school, the fact that you were holding hands with someone. But people place their value on that because there's a return on that. You think I'm gonna place value on this because I think that this is gonna give me value. We place value on social media. We spend time making sure we have like the right lighting, making sure we have the right hashtags. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it comes a point where it's like who you are becomes what people say about you, or who you are becomes how many likes it has. And if it didn't get this many likes, then I'm gonna delete it. Ooh. I'm gonna hide. Let's move on. Is this making sense, guys? Ephesians 5:15 through 19. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. Honestly, I'm just going to let these scriptures speak for themselves. 5:15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music in the Lord in your hearts. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely. I'm going to say completely. For you are dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You're either letting your life be led by the truth, or you're letting your life be led by lies. But not both. Guys, we have an enemy. In my sophomore year of high school, I wanted to join baseball. And it was a day of tryouts. And I was in PE, and my friends were like, hey, well, not my friends, but like people in PE, like, oh, you can go try out. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go try out. And then I had one thought come to my head. Oh, your friends, they're a bunch of metalheads. They didn't play sports. Oh, your friends are going to make fun of you for trying out, they're going to think you're lame. So I didn't try out. I still regret that to this day. Whether they would have made fun of me or not doesn't matter. It's still a lie. The lie of my value is placed in what they thought about me. Growing up, there's a lot of lies that are put on us. Whether by teachers who say you're dumb, or the lies that are put on us by grades that we got. Many lies were put on us because of what we did or what we didn't do. But Jesus says this, he says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He says, you're no longer a slave to sin, and the house of sin is not your home. But now you have been made free to not be with Christ. Guys, when Christ set you free, he set you free from the lies that were put on you. You're not good enough, you're ugly, you can't talk right. I used to stutter really, really bad. I don't know if you guys know that. I think I still mumble and jumble up my words, but I had a really bad stutter where like I couldn't talk. Like I would get caught up on one word and then I would, it's so weird. I don't know, has anybody ever had a stutter before? It's like so weird. It's like you literally cannot get past this word. And so I would literally like think of like other words that meant that because I can say those words because for whatever reason I couldn't say this one word. It was so weird. I don't even know why I told you that. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Let's go to our Matthew chapter 16, verses 24. We read this at the end of worship. I just want to read it again. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me." I love this quote. It says, the price of your new life is your old one. The price of your new life is your old one. We all have a choice whether we're going to continue living the way we did or we're going to choose to walk in the calling and the life that God has for us. Jesus put it this way, "I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." And if there's any of us in this room who feels like, and listen, living life with Jesus, it's like I'm living my life to the fullest. To the third person, it might not look like it, but my life with Jesus is better than anything I could have ever done on my own. Nothing is worth giving up the peace that I have with God and the assurance and the leading that he does for me and with me. That is priceless. I'd rather do life with God no matter what my circumstances, rather than try to figure out all my circumstances and try to succeed on my own. I mean, come on, why wouldn't I reach and call for help of the creator of the universe? It just doesn't make sense. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? I'm listening. I'm not trying to be awkward right now. Worship team, can you guys come up? You guys can play whatever's on your heart. I mean the same song. Don't play different songs. Each of you. You guys hear what I'm saying? You I hear God saying this. He's saying, I love that you came to church. And I love that you come to church. But I have so much more for you. Coming to church doesn't mean you're following God. He's saying this, I miss you on Mondays. I miss you on Tuesday. I'm glad that you came to visit me on Wednesday. But I miss you on Thursday. I miss you on Friday. I miss you on Saturday. I'm glad you came to visit me on Sunday, but I would rather just live inside of you. And wherever you go, I want to be there. Because here's the truth. Here's what Jesus said. I'm gonna go back to heaven, and I'm going to make many, many, many mansions. Because where I am, I want you to be there also. Listen, Jesus is saying this. Hold on. Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven. He's already in heaven. But at the end, he's like, I'm going to stay in heaven, but I don't want to stay there by myself. I don't want to go there. I want you guys to come with me. I don't want to be there if you're not there. I'm already building houses for you. I'm already building mansions for you. I'm already preparing a place. I'm expecting you to come. Eternity does not start when we die. Eternity is today. Jesus is saying, I miss you. I don't want to be someone that you visit when you're in trouble. I don't want to be someone that you visit when you're doubting. I want to be your best friend. I and you and me, one with the Father, I want to do life with you. I want to be there through your trials. I want to be there in the circumstances. I want to be there in the midst of the doubts, in the midst of the fights, in the midst of the wreck. That's where I do my best work. Bring me with you. Bring me with you. Don't leave me at church. Church is not my home. You're my home. That's what he's saying, guys. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Holy Spirit saying, I'm calling those who will value me like I value you. God is saying, I'm calling those who put a value on my sacrifice, because my sacrifice was for you. Because I look at you and I see that you are valuable. You are the most valuable thing, person on the earth. So valuable that I forsook my son on the cross. So that our relationship would be restored. So that I could get you back, because I think you're valuable. That's you tonight, and you're saying, Lord, I admit I have not valued you the way you value me, and I want to put a greater value on our relationship. If that's you tonight, I want you guys to come up to the altar right now.